keep going here. Job 24, we're just taking verse number 1 and kind of our thought is from that. He says, "Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days?" Let's pray real quick and then we'll get in here. Father, I love You and I thank You so much for how good You've been to me and my personal family and my church family. And then, Lord, we got some good friends here tonight as well. And that's just a real blessing, Lord. We just thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Lord, for Your comfort. Thank You for Your leadership, for Your direction, for Your help. And Lord, this has been a real weird year, to say the least. And on top of that, Lord, a lot of the brethren are just getting a little wishy-washy in their doctrine. And Father, I really want my feet grounded, and I want our church grounded. I want my family grounded. I pray, God, You'd help us not to be blown about by winds of doctrine because of circumstances. But I pray You'd help us, Lord, to stand strong in the truths that we know to be clear from the Holy Spirit, Lord, clear from the Word of God, clear from those who've taught us the Word of God, knowing of whom we've learned them. And so, God, I pray tonight that You would help me as I try to get these truths across to our church, that You'd use me, God, by the filling of Your Holy Spirit, and that You'd control me. Help me not to have any agenda, Lord, but help me to faithfully teach the book and make a good application, that people won't just leave here with some doctrine, but that they'll leave here with some practical help for their daily life. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now he says here in verse 1, "Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days?" And we've been talking about how God Almighty is the one who gives them life, right? And God Almighty is the one that's got the times in His hands. He controls the times. And why is it from a human perspective that there's so much wickedness in the world and God allows wicked people to live in His world, basically? And I showed you from the Bible, and you know this to be true, that Satan is the god of this world at this time. It's insanity to say that God is the one micromanaging everything. God is not. He's allowed Lucifer to be the god of this world. Lucifer's in control. But from a human perspective, Job is sitting here saying, "Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days?" You know what I find funny about that? Job has a question, and what he's saying is, I don't understand some things about God and about people and wicked people. Why do they seem to get away with murder? And I showed you that God right now is being long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember how we talked about the wicked not receiving their reward right now, but they will receive it at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, right? So, I mean, at the great white throne judgment, excuse me. And there goes more heresy. That's for people that want to catch me and discredit me, they get all those, you know. They will receive theirs at the great white throne judgment. But you also don't receive everything in this lifetime. Yes, God blesses you for doing right. No question about that. I've lived an amazing life. I can't imagine my life without Jesus Christ. God has blessed me so much, it's not even funny. I mean, it blows my mind. I would never have imagined my life would be as good as it's been. But it's also been pretty rough. In the bad times, I recognize Satan's the god of this world. I am occupying enemy territory. I'm living in the devil's world right now. And so in the bad times, I chalk it up to that. And I realize that even though God does bless me now, my true rewards are not coming until the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. You got to keep that in mind. The funny thing to me is that Job actually, you remember how he said, "I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary meat"? Remember Job saying that? Hang on a minute. He did not have a written Bible. Did you ever stop and think about that? How close was this guy to God? This man knew God, and he walked with God so much so that God says to Lucifer, "Hey, have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, one that fears God and eschews evil." That's how close this man was to God. Somebody called me today with some really good Bible questions, and he was asking about, you know, how the thing works when God doesn't tempt man with evil, right? Can't be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. And he says, so how does that work? Because God does allow Lucifer to tempt us, right? The devil to tempt us. Absolutely. "Have thou seen my servant Job?" Well, so God's not doing the tempting. No. God's allowing the devil to have a certain amount of leash. Yes, that's true. But the devil has to say, "God, you got to give me more access to Job because you're protecting him. You're blocking him." And then God says, I know what he can take. And God knew that in the end, Job was going to come out twice as good as before. God doesn't allow anything to happen to you that he doesn't help you through and plan to make you better because of. Don't forget that. But I told the gentleman on the phone today, I said, listen, brother, most of the time, I'd say probably 99% of the Christians on this planet today probably never really run into a genuine encounter. I mean, a real battle with the devil. You know why? Because every man's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Most Christians nowadays are so fleshly and carnal. They're so in tune with themselves. They're so disinterested in the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, have no desire for that whatsoever, have no hunger for their Bible. They show up on Sunday if they feel like it, if nothing else is going on, if COVID has canceled all their sporting events and everything else, then they'll be faithful to come on Sunday morning, you know, if it fits their schedule and if they don't have a headache and if they don't. Where in the world do you think Lucifer has to have at a Christian like that? You're already so drawn away from your own lust, from your own flesh and enticed by your own flesh, you're not even on the devil's radar. And here's a man that was so close to God and so right with the Lord that God says, hey, Satan, have you seen my servant Job? I am so proud of that boy. I know one thing about him. He's going to praise me, serve me, be faithful to me no matter what. Now, here's my point. Job's that close to God, and you know what Job's saying in this passage? There's a lot of things I don't get. You know what the problem with the Christians I'm seeing nowadays is? They don't want to accept the fact that there are some things you don't have an answer to and you're not going to get an answer. Can I tell you, I firmly believe one of those things is, when is Jesus coming back? I do not believe in date setting the rapture. Now, I know a lot of guys are going to disagree with me, and I really don't care. Doesn't bother me a bit. Let them disagree. I believe in what is called the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The problem, if you come to me and say, preacher, I got this great study. Look at this. I can lay all this out for you, and I can show you exactly when Jesus is going to come back. The problem with me even taking you seriously and looking at all your references and your timelines and your dates and you comparing this scripture with that scripture and trying to prove, randomly popping around the Bible, that this is the day that he's coming. The problem is, if you can date it for me, if it's 5 years from now, you know what you just did? You just did away with the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And I have a problem swallowing a basic doctrine. You never become a black belt by throwing away white belt principles. It's not possible. You become a black belt by always holding on to your white belt principles, and then you build up from there. You don't get to a certain level where you no longer need the basics. One of the basic doctrines that I want to talk to you about tonight is the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The reason this is good timing is because when we get into Job 24, which we'll start next Wednesday night, I am going to show you all the way through that passage. That thing is a type, and it actually spells out the sins of the men that are going to be on this earth and the activities that they're going to be involved in during the tribulation period. And as we get closer to that time, we do know the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So some of these sins that we're going to look at next week that will be prevalent throughout the tribulation period, I'm talking about the filthy vileness of mankind. It's going to be so wicked, it would blow your mind. And yet, before we get to that point, it is going to grow exponentially in our society. You will be seeing it. The problem with the modern-day American Christian is this. All of a sudden, when things get bad, everybody wants to start talking about the rapture. And it ticks me off. Where was your great love for the appearing of Jesus when the economy was booming, when you just got a huge raise, when you just bought your new fancy house, when you just got your nice new car, when everything was looking great for you in this world, why at that point did you not care at all about digging into your Bible and finding out exactly the day when Jesus is coming? Why all of a sudden when the COVID hits, when the economy's looking bad, when, oh my goodness, God forbid, Trump might not get back in office?
like he's your Messiah or something. Like he's King Jesus. Like the next 4 years is the millennium. I don't understand the mindset of God's people. Why is it that all of a sudden we're all wound up about the rapture and there's all these yahoos out there on the internet right now? Excuse me, I'm not just trying to go on a rant and I'm not just hating on them. Because if Jesus Christ tarries, some of these yahoos are going to grow up and, let me change that, may grow up and may actually become ministers of Jesus Christ that can actually help some people. In the meanwhile, there's so many different little guys out there trying to make their little kingdom and get their name out there and get their clicks and their likes and their promotions. There are so many theories out there right now, everything from 3.5-year tribulation, not a 7, to a 10-year tribulation. And everybody's wanting to make their mark. And what will happen to you if you're not careful is you'll get off track. You'll get all confused in your doctrine, and you'll start wondering, like some are, whether or not we're actually going through the tribulation. You're not going through the tribulation. If you do, I'm not going to be. That means I'm saved, and you need to get saved before we leave tonight. I ain't going through no tribulation. So all of a sudden, everybody's all interested in this, and now there's more studies out there on the tribulation period and on when Jesus is coming. I believe, in no question at all, in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. Go to Proverbs chapter 25. I want to show you a couple of different passages. Proverbs chapter 25, and look at verse number 1. Nope, that's the wrong reference. I wrote down the wrong one. Where's the, it's the honor of a king to conceal, honor of kings to search out a matter? Hang on. 25:2. It's the second verse. Proverbs 25:2. There it is. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. You see that? But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Interesting, right? Now, hang on a second. The honor of the king, not the glory of God. Two separate things. God is glorified to know some things that he doesn't tell you. Here's the verse. Some guys will take this verse and say, see, it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. God's glory is to conceal it, but our honor is searching it out. How are you making that application, bro? Where do you find in the Bible that you're supposed to honor yourself? You're supposed to glorify God. So it is God's glory and it shows his power when he has some things that you don't know. To me, I kind of like the fact that God knows some stuff I don't know. I kind of enjoy the fact that there are some questions that I have that I realize aren't going to be answered and I just got to go, you know what? I'm just going to trust God by faith that he's God and I'm not. Go to another verse. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 29. I heard one guy say, well, the Bible says that we're kings and priests to God, right? Over in Revelation. Now hang on a minute. More than one guy, actually. Now hang on a minute. Are we all kings? Are some of us going to be kings? Maybe. We shall rule and reign with him, right? If ye suffer, ye shall reign with him. Not every Christian is going to get to reign. That is a reward of being faithful as a Christian in this lifetime and doing the right thing. You have a chance that if you get rewarded at the judgment seat, you may be able to reign over a certain area in the millennium. It doesn't mean you're all kings. And you're not one now. You're hoping that maybe if you're faithful, God might trust you with a little something in the millennial kingdom. Does that make sense? So how can you apply Proverbs 25:2 to you right now? Yeah, in the millennium, I'm going to be searching out some stuff. Right now, there's stuff I don't know, and God's not going to give me the answer to, so I'm not going to waste my time trying to find it. Deuteronomy 29:29, look at this. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong to God. When is the rapture going to happen? I have no idea. And neither do you. So don't waste my time and come and trying to show me the verses where you're going to prove when the rapture is happening. Because I'm not going to give you the time of day. I got more important things to do, like pray for somebody's pneumonia. Pray for somebody's sore back. Pray for somebody's sick mom. That's more important to me than looking at all your verses on when you think the rapture is going to happen. It's beside the point. First of all, it's an argument nobody can prove conclusively. You can show me 900 references that's going to happen in 2021, and I can show you 900 references that's going to happen in 2022, and none of us can prove it until it actually happens. So what's the point anyways? And if you are right, or if I am right, when the rapture hits, I guarantee you I'm not going to be in the air going, I told you I'm right! And if I am, you're not even going to hear me, because all you're going to be obsessed with is you finally see Jesus Christ and it's going to take over everything. You're not going to worry about whether or not so-and-so was right about when the rapture came. Amen. Foolishness. So the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The problem with me is not whether or not I know when the rapture's coming. You know what the problem with me is? It's not the stuff I don't know. It's the stuff I do know. It's the stuff in this book that's already been revealed to me, and I'm not doing it. It's already been revealed to me, I shouldn't be doing it, and I am doing it. That's the problem. I believe with all my heart there's absolutely no way that God's going to come out and show you and I, go to Hebrews 13, show you and I when that rapture's coming. Because I don't think that'd be a great way to test your character. Listen, when I was 15 years old, if some preacher had said, Jesus is coming back in 2020, you know a 42-year-old man, when I was 15, had one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel? You're laughing because that's young to you. Right? I'd have been like, man, I got all that time. Jesus is coming back in 2020. I'll get right December 2019 because I knew the verses, right? Come in the 11th hour. Lord, I got right and I got really right and I grabbed a whole bunch of tracts. I remember this when I was a kid because the preachers that I sat under growing up were preaching about the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Man, we left there as a kid. I left there scared. I'd lay on my bed at night thinking, man, is that trumpet going to sound? I mean, it scared me because I was a kid. The older you get, the less it scares you. And the more it sounds like a super good idea. But I remember going home scared because God showed up when that old man was preaching. And I got scared about Jesus coming, man. Boy, you lay there and start confessing your sins. On my way out, I'd be grabbing tracks off the track rack. I was leading people to Jesus Christ in elementary school. I remember the first kid that ever got saved was cutting through my neighborhood all the time, and he had long hair. I remember that. And so I stopped him, and I witnessed to him, and we sat right on the curb in front of my house, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I said, all right, do you have a Bible? You got to read a Bible. You got to go to church, and do you listen to rock and roll music? He said, yes. I said, can't listen to any more rock and roll music. I said, you got to go home and get all your records and bring them down here, and we got to smash them. Kid went home and got all his records. We were breaking them on the curb of the house. My parents were freaking out. His parents are going to kill us. You know why? Because some old preacher got up there and got me thinking about Jesus Christ coming back. And I wanted to be ready. So I was grabbing gospel tracts and I was passing out gospel tracts. And I was trying to witness to anybody that go by as a little kid. But if you'd have told that little kid you got till you're 42. You know the imminent return of Jesus Christ will test your character? Oh, they've been saying that for years. Okay, then be slothful. Or how about this? How about maybe Jesus Christ is coming back today? Are you ready? How about the fact that you don't know whether or not you got a little vein somewhere in your body that's bulging, has got a weak spot, or a little vein somewhere in your brain that's bulging with a weak spot right now and you don't even know about it? To get my ribs crushed, and I go to the doctor, and they're doing that CAT scan, and they're like, man, you got like a swollen heart on your right side. And I'm like, ah! Like, how's this even possible? Are you kidding me?
And then I'm seeing all these stories of athletes in their 40s having heart attacks during COVID. A couple of guys I follow having heart attacks about 5 years older than me, still trying to train like they're 20, and they're in phenomenal shape and out of the blue having a heart attack. Pushing themselves too hard, but that's beside the point. I'm just saying you have got, I don't care what kind of shape you're in, you got no idea when you might be checking out of here. You know how a Christian's supposed to live before God? You're supposed to live in such a way that you're ready for Jesus Christ to come back right now. I'm good. Didn't scare me. Why? I'm ready to go. Or if I die of old age, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Because my life is His and I'm going to live just like He'd have me to live. But I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to die right now. I'll never forget Brother Lynn saying it. A preacher has to be ready to do three things in 1 second's notice. Preach. If you can't finish it yet, I need to repeat it more. You should be able to finish it by now. If you've been here for 5 years or more, you know what I'm saying. Preach, pray, and die. At a moment's notice. Even if you are in shorts and a hoodie. At a moment's notice. You know what the problem with this date setting stuff and the problem with trying to tell everybody that, you know, you're going through the tribulation. Well, if I'm going through the tribulation, then I got time. When the Antichrist gets set up, I'll see it coming. When all these things start happening, I'll see it coming and I'll get right with God then. That's exactly what would happen to your human nature. It's God's glory to hide it from you. He ain't going to tell you when He's coming. And I'll tell you this much, folks, it's not like He's coming to you as a thief in the night. You're supposed to be watching, walking in the light, a child of the day. If you're walking in the light and you're a child of the day and you're looking for Jesus Christ, there's no problem with His coming. You kids do not have to be scared of the rapture. There is no way that that thing is going to be like the day of the Lord. The coming of Christ is not going to be like the day of the Lord when He comes and their hearts are stricken with terror. If you're living right and waiting for the imminent return of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. And when you hear that trumpet, you're going to, I believe this with all my heart, every one of us will be flooded with peace. Now, I'm not saying that we're looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ necessarily. But I don't think you're looking for something that's a horrifying thing to you. You say, how do you say that, preacher? Because the Bible says it's a comfort. We saw it last week. The thing's supposed to be a comfort. If you're in Hebrews 13, look at verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with date setting the rapture, with blood-sucking angels in the Old Testament, vampires in the New. No, it's a good thing that the heart be established, how? With grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Even if you are a preacher. God said, your heart is established in the grace of Jesus Christ, in the simpler doctrines of the Bible. Not with all the meats of when is the date setting the rapture and all the stuff about the Antichrist and all that stuff. We're going to look at some of it. The Bible, God gives us, because we're not children of the night, He gives us a basic layout of not date setting, but time frames and exactly the process of how that thing's going to take place, what comes first and what comes next. So we can have some comfort. We have some knowledge. We're not children of the night, but He's not giving you the exact day, period. And really, it doesn't matter if He did. What difference would it make? You just live like the devil until you got close. Amen. Now look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to look back at this one again. We touched on this last week, but I got this one and a couple other ones I want to talk to you about in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see some things here, and then, Lord willing, next week we'll get into Job 24, verse by verse. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, notice that, right? I pointed that out last week, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering unto Him. So the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is your rapture. That's when He comes for you. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, I find it interesting that he says, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you by the coming of the Lord and by our soon gathering together unto him. That's a good comforting thought, right? And then in verse number 2, the troubling thought was, don't worry about the day of Christ being at hand. One is a troubling thought, the other is a comfort. We saw the verses on that last week. So the two are not necessarily exactly the same. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Well, we probably are beginning to see that happening. Notice the comma. There's a passage in the Old Testament where that comma represents the entire church age. Because before and after that is the first advent and the second advent, and there's a comma in between. So there's going to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Sot, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now there's a ton of things here we could talk about. I'm not going to take the time, but there's a lot going on right there. Probably about halfway through the tribulation, if memory's serving me correctly, he's going to enter into that temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to sit down on that mercy seat, on that throne, putting his arms around them cherubs, right back where he was at the beginning. And he's going to say, I'm him. There's a lot to be said, but I'll leave it go. Remember, look, verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now, here's where I need to make a correction from last week. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So in the context, what we're talking about is the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, right? Nowhere in the context here is it talking about the church or the Spirit of God. Watch this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. When Paul was writing this book to the Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity was already working in the world. Do you understand that? Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, most guys say that that is the Holy Spirit and he's taken out of the way by the church. And I've seen it that way. But in digging down a little more here, I realize that I've been wrong. I got to go back to my schooling every once in a while. It's been a while. That thing is not talking about the church or the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is not going to be gone in the tribulation. How are the 144,000 preaching? How about Moses and Elijah? The angels flying in heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. There's a lot the Spirit of God's doing in the tribulation, and men can still be saved. Not the same way you and I are. That's one of the ways you know we're already gone, because the plan of salvation in the tribulation period is different than the plan of salvation now. If the plan of salvation changes, you're not a part of that. You're gone already. The thing about this is, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked, capital W, Satan incarnate, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What's going to happen there? What is happening? The mystery of iniquity is working. But Lucifer knows timing. Lucifer understands in every good fight you have to have an excellent sense of timing. I don't care how tough you are, you'll never be a good fighter if you don't understand timing. Lucifer understands timing. He is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he's extremely patient. He's allowing, remember Jesus Christ said that his kingdom's not divided? A kingdom divided against itself can't what? Stand. What happens to Lucifer's kingdom? If you read Daniel, there's the 10 kings, right? The 10 horns that come up and all that thing, and they all turn and attack each other and attack themselves. You know what Lucifer's doing, even with the man of sin? He's using them. Now, wait a minute. Here's what I want you to try to wrap your mind around. I wouldn't debate you on this. These are some of my thoughts. What about Adolf Hitler when the Jews were getting obliterated and horrible things were happening? I wonder how many preachers were looking through their Bibles and looking at what was happening on the planet at that time, the Great Depression that came after that. I wonder how many of them are looking at their Bibles and seeing how all these things lined up, and you could definitely pull passages of Bible to make it match. You can go down through history. I was listening to Dr. Ruckman's teaching on this stuff, and he went through history, and he talked about different men down through history who had a messed up right eye and a wounded arm. Because the Antichrist is going to be killed in the tribulation period and come back to life. And he's going to have a messed up eye and a wounded arm. And he can go all the way down through history and talk about different world leaders. I think it was Hitler or Mussolini. One of them had a twitch in his right arm. Was it Hitler? You're shaking your head like, you know, he had a twitch in his right arm. He'd have to hold it. He'd hold it like that a lot of times when he was standing because there was a problem with his right arm. Now, if that was going on right now, you know what I'd be preaching? I'm just as weak as any other man. You know what I'd be? I'd be like, oh, my word. You say, what about that? Yeah, what about it? If God had wanted to come back then, if God had been ready, everything would have been set and the guy God, the devil would have used, would have been right there ready to go. And the guy always has been there ready to go since Acts chapter 7. I believe it with all my heart. I believe this book is so deep that God has it set up to where God can move whenever God wants to move and kick that thing off whenever God wants to kick it off. And he'll show you when you get to heaven where it was in the Bible and you missed it. In other words, Jesus Christ could have come back in Acts chapter 7. And Jesus Christ could have come back when Nero was in power. And Jesus Christ could have come back. You keep running it forward throughout history, and the stage has always been set. The Lord can do exactly what he wants when he wants, and he's not telling you when he's going to do it. In other words, if the Lord was ready to come back today, do you think the Antichrist is alive right now? Sure. You think he's here? Oh, absolutely. What if the Lord waits another 100 years? Then whoever he is now has died, and the new guy that spirit is using is in his position. Is that making sense? So there's a real problem when you start looking at circumstances and start trying to evaluate when Jesus Christ is coming based on circumstances around you. But that's what all the Christians are wanting to do today. You know why? Just like a born-again Christian told me this week, this is why. All I care about is my financial security and my physical safety. And that's why all of a sudden, when they see how bad it's getting and it's spiraling downhill fast, now all of a sudden everybody's getting godly and they're talking about the rapture. You make me sick. If it all turns around, Bible Believers Church, if it all turns around and President Trump gets voted back in and the virus is gone and the economy's booming and everybody gets a $20,000 stimulus package from the government, the day that thing clicks into your bank account, are you going to say, even so, come Lord Jesus? I'll bet you most of you wouldn't even tithe it because it wasn't technically your income. I'm getting mischievous. Joe, quit looking at me. He's trying to provoke me. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose working is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's the state of the world. We'll get more into that next week in Job 24. But the devil knows his sense of timing, and so right now he's not allowing it. He that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then the wicked's going to be revealed. So when the devil's done with him, he'll put him to the side and he'll be revealed. The devil understands timing, but the devil doesn't know when the rapture's going to happen. And he knows the Bible better than you do. Yeah, how do you say that, preacher? Because in the tribulation period, when he gets cast down to the earth, what happens, the Bible says? He comes down furious. Why? Because he knows his time is short. If he knew exactly when it was, he'd be ramping it up already. He's waiting for his timing. He knows God's not going to let him do certain things yet. God's not going to give him certain power yet. And it's a chess game. It's a battle. It's a grappling match between him and God. And God's just sitting there chilling, man. God's got it all under. God's all right. He knows when, and he ain't telling you, and he ain't telling me, and he ain't telling Lucifer. He's letting it play out. It boggles my mind. There are some arguments that I'm not going to get into tonight because I want to wrap up in about 10 minutes, but there are some arguments that could show you that we still could have 400 years, even if the six-day thing is right and 33 years of Jesus Christ's life and blah, 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 that there still could be between 400 and 500 years yet because there's certain periods of time God might not have counted. And there's biblical evidence to give it a viable argument. Do you see what I'm saying about how this is a pointless thing to get into and get caught up in and get worried about? And definitely, 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 under all circumstances, do not throw your chips into, well, we got another 13 years, we got another 20 years, we got another 10 years. Are you nuts? I hope you don't have another hour. Amen. And if you're living right, you won't care. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 real quick. 1 Corinthians 15, got a couple more passages I'd like to show you. Now there in the rest of that chapter in Thessalonians, while you're turning over there, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved brethren, beloved of the Lord, because that from the beginning, because God hath from the beginning chosen you salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto ye are called by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So in 2 Thessalonians, after he gets through telling you about how wicked the Antichrist is going to be and all that stuff that's going to go on, he says, all right, knowing all that, y'all just stand fast. Just do right. Just stick with it. Just don't quit. Just stay faithful in enemy territory. That's all you've got to worry about. You know, church and religion and you will put a lot of pressure on you, but God doesn't put a lot. He knows it's hard enough for you to stand fast and do right and live right and sanctify yourself and fight against sin. He knows that's hard enough. He doesn't put much more on you than that. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end. So you look at that, it talks about Christ at his coming. That's you. Look down at verse number 51, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In what context? A mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. In August 2020, Jesus Christ, no, it's a mystery. What's the mystery? All right, the mystery is she got killed. By who, with the candlestick, in what room? All you know is she got killed. The mystery, he knows all the details to, and someday you'll find them out, but today you don't know them. Here's the mystery. I'm going to show you the mystery. What's going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be changed. And if you're dead, you're coming out of the grave. So based on that, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what you do. That's it. It's just that simple. Because Jesus Christ is coming back, and he might come back any day now, don't quit, don't give up, don't get discouraged. When you do get discouraged, encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't worry about it. Listen, 100 years from now, nothing that you're worried about tonight is going to matter one iota. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
What is going to matter 100 years from now? Is how is your fellowship with Jesus Christ today? Did you refuse to quit? Did you keep going when you didn't feel like it? Did you do right because it was right to do, even when you felt like a hypocrite because it was right to do?
And someday I'm going to answer to Jesus Christ. So whether I'm getting anything out of it or not, I'm reading my Bible this morning. Whether I'm getting any, my prayers answered or not, I am praying this morning. Amen. I have prayed many, 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 many hundreds of prayers that I felt like weren't getting answered. Once in a blue moon, I pray for a pit bull and it happens. I say, I want it today and it happens today. And that's a story I'll tell the rest of my life. Once in a blue moon, a black one. I mean, like down to the detail, man, it's crazy. But that's not the norm. But you know what? You pray anyways. Why? Because Jesus is coming, and one day I'm going to answer to him, and he's honored when I pray, and I'm going to try to talk to him. And even if I don't feel like I got anywhere, I'm going to try anyways. Why? Because I'm not moving. He's coming any day. I'm not moving him. I'm going to die soon. And in the meanwhile, I want to do right. But imminent return of Jesus Christ will give you comfort. Imminent return of Jesus Christ will give you consistency. And the imminent of Jesus, return of Jesus Christ will show your Christian character. A couple more verses and we'll quit. Go to Titus. Titus chapter 2. I can't get past the imminent return. That's why I can't dig through my Bible and come up with date setting. I can't do it. Times belong to the Lord. Yeah, but it just doesn't make any sense. Why would God, it must be that we're going into the tribulation. Why would, well, my God would never, oh, shut up. Go home and bow to your little God that you got on the shelf, that you formed your little idol, you formed in exactly what you want it to be. The God of the Bible isn't so easy to figure out. I'm glad he's not. Because I really want to give the rest of my life to what I'm doing. Nothing's more discouraging than being, you know, Mr. World Champ and now what? It's all downhill from here. Those guys get chronically depressed. Young men and young women who become superstars overnight, one of the worst things in the world. Kids were telling me a story about some girl who started posting pictures of puppies or something, and she had like, you know, tens of thousands of followers within 2 months, and she's this little, and they're encouraging young people to get your name out there, do this little thing because you can become a celebrity. I said, that's some of the worst, that's some of the most filthy thing I've ever heard in my life. My kids are like, what in the world? Not you, I'm not mad at you. That's horrible. Why? They just destroyed that little girl. Because she's already lived it all. Now what? You realize if you'll walk with Jesus Christ the rest of your life, you will never get to a point where you got it all down and you know God. So there's always more to attain. And that's exciting. I mean, that's really exciting to me. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Watch it. See the semicolon? All of us can quote this next verse, but we don't realize that the text has already been running for a while. Looking for that blessed hope, not that terror. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify on himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. If you and I will believe the doctrine of the imminent return of Jesus Christ, times he knows, they're with him. You and I, we don't. But he said, I'm coming. And what I find in the Bible is he could have in Acts chapter 7. And I'm telling you one thing about God, don't get discouraged. But one thing about God, if he waits another 1,000 years, somehow or another, it's in there and we all missed it. I know now you think I'm a heretic. I don't care. Stretch your mind a little bit. He knows what he's doing. All you and I are responsible for is knowing the fact that God has it set up to where he can come when he's ready. And brethren, I believe we're getting real close. And next week, I'm going to try to convince you that we're real close. Because the best sign of the coming of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with viruses or kings or presidents or Christian martyrs or anything else. It has everything to do with the hearts of men worldwide. That is the greatest sign you have for the times and the seasons. The day and the hour, don't give me that stuff. But how we can see it's drawing nigh, it's the hearts of men worldwide and the hearts of Christians, specifically the Christians. All right, just one more. Go to Acts chapter 1.
First John, I want to show you that too, but I'm not going to. It says, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. The imminent return of Jesus Christ will give you comfort. It'll cause you to be consistent, and it'll give you Christian character. Acts chapter 1, look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You know what the Lord just told him? You fellows are going to be submerged into the Holy Ghost real soon. Now, let me ask you a question. If God told you real soon, I am going to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. Now you know you got the Spirit, right? You got all of them you're going to get when you got saved. The difference is, he doesn't have all of you. That's being filled with the Spirit, giving him more control of your life. Don't we all kind of want that? I mean, if you don't want that, you really need to get right with Jesus Christ. You're so wicked, you don't even see it. And you know what the sad thing is? A lot of Christians that could care less about being filled with the Spirit of God are so cold and so far from God that there's little, you could preach as hard as you want and in your face as you want and be prayed up and filled up as much as you want. Give them all the Bible in the world. Beg and plead. Cry and weep. Be sweet. Be mean. Nothing's going to move them because they just don't care. If God told me, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit, boy, and I'm not talking about a second blessing or anything. Don't pick at what I'm saying. That would be pretty exciting. Right? I mean, man, to walk around all the time with the power of God on my life, every day, every prayer, every interaction, every conversation. Folks, my neighbor is 60-something years old. He's a ridiculously successful guy. He's from England. I think they still own a home in England. They own the home across the street from us. They bought a house in Florida. He's got all these motorcycles and cars and all this stuff, right? He's retired. He is one of those type of guys. Nicest guy you ever met in your life. He came across the street the other day after a year and almost 2 years. And we were standing on the front lawn and I had to be here for the wedding. And I'm going, God, this is really bad timing. Why seeing times aren't hidden from the Almighty? God, you knew I had to go to the wedding and I got to. And you know what he started talking to me about? Death. That old man has seen me sit on my front porch with my Bible. He's seen her with her Bible on the front porch. He's seen her with her Bible on the front porch. He's heard them singing and playing the piano because that piano's right in the front room and they're outside all the time walking by. They've heard all the songs. They've heard the piano, the whole nine yards. And he's standing here talking to a 42-year-old kid about dying and not looking at me. It's just weird, man. It's just weird. You start getting to this age and you start realizing I ain't got long left. And I'm going, okay, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, don't say a word. I know some of you now really think I'm a heretic. And I said, okay. I said, yeah, it's weird, ain't it? I said, I'm not where you're at, but I'm not 22 anymore. And it's just, he's like, yeah, you're at the age where you're starting to realize some things. I said, yeah, not like you, though. I just took the humble approach and backed off, and he kept kind of hinting at it. And I'm going, okay, Lord. And the Lord said, if you say anything right now, you're going to mess it up. I said, okay. I am convinced that God told me just to be nice and listen and wait. I guarantee you if I started, can I show you in the Bible, he'd be long gone. I got to know him for 2 years. I kind of know what I'm dealing with right there, I think. Could you imagine being so full of the Holy Ghost that guy walks up and right there he kneels down on the street and starts praying and getting saved and you know exactly what to do every single time, just having the power of God on your life? I'm not saying that the Lord overwhelms people, any of that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, could you imagine how great that would be? If the Lord told you that, wouldn't you be excited about it? Look at the disciples. We're done. We're almost done. Verse 6. When they were come together, they asked him of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? There was zero response that the Lord showed us when he said, not many days hence, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're like, But when they got a chance to talk to the Lord, they weren't like, so what's going to happen when the Holy Ghost fills us? what next? You know, like, that's kind of cool. Like, my fellowship with God's going to be good. My prayer life's going to be great. I'm going to be walking with the Lord. The sin problems are gone. Like, wow, this is going to be great. No, what they want to know is the times. Verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was caught up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Lord, so, and what are you going to, and what about the times, and what about the end? That's not for you to know. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to go get busy for me. Then he gets caught up. Their obsession. Hey guys, why are you standing gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is going to come again. Go do what he said to do. You know what the imminent return of Jesus Christ does? If you really believe he's coming back, times aren't hidden from him. They're hidden from you. You look around at the earth and you judge based on that, you're going to get discouraged. But you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what's going to happen when he comes? It's going to be good for you. And if he doesn't come, you're going to die. And you're going to have lived a life you're glad you lived. Why? Because that life was lived for Jesus Christ, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, eyes on my Savior, walking with the Lord. Folks, times are not hidden from God. I have no idea what the rest of this year holds. I was joking around in the lobby on Sunday. We said, man, I can't wait for 2020 to be over. And then it just hit me like, I don't know what makes me think 2021 is going to be any better. I'm hoping it is. I forget who was there. I think Ramona was there and a couple other people. And we all started laughing like, oh, yeah, oh, my goodness. I don't know. 2021 might be worse. But it doesn't really matter. Because if I'm living for Jesus Christ, then come what may, he's going to see me through it. I don't know when he's coming. I hope it's soon. It may not be. Either way, I'm living like he's coming tonight. I want the worst thing I want God to catch me doing is lifting weights. Yeah, you know what I mean? Eating dinner. Like just like regular human things. Just the worst thing I want. I want to live. I want to be thinking. I want my mind working in such a way that God doesn't catch me in the middle. You know the normal stuff, the easy stuff. I'm talking about in the middle of anything. Criticizing somebody. Thinking ill of somebody. Thinking about all the things that make me angry or that hurt me or the people that have hurt me. I want my mind right when he shows up. I want to live every moment of my life like, boom, if it's now, there he is. There he is. Hey, how are you? Good to see you. I did my best. I wish I'd have done more, but sure is good to see you. That's the doctrine of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Next week, we'll look at how bad it's going to get in the trib, and you can see what you can kind of expect to start dealing with more and more of in this world, but it doesn't change how you live and what you and I are to be looking for, and that is Jesus Christ to come back. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer.